Proverbs 24 tonight. We are going to get back here where we ran out of time last week. And so that's just the way this goes. You know, we're really in a portion of Proverbs. I guess I'd say all of Proverbs is pretty practical lessons, right? We have just some practical lessons in Proverbs that, but kind of what we're in a place here, and it talks about these different wise sayings, but it's a place we're going to learn tonight, and what we're going to talk about is how do we interact with, sometimes we just know how to need to know how to interact with these situations that come up in our life. And we don't have to think about the natural man, right? The natural man steps up. Something comes up, stirs us a little bit, fires us up a little bit. The natural man comes in and says, I'll tell you how to take care of that, and we just act. And the truth is, sometimes, and I've heard Christians say this, I've heard Christians say stuff like this, well, if I just speak my mind, and we say that like it's a good thing, but a lot of times when we just speak our mind, we sometimes say things that we regret, right? And sometimes we say things that are not what God would want us to do. And it could come off as like, well, I just, this who I am. What I want us to think about is, what does God want me to be? What does God want me to be? And that's what we deal with a lot on Wednesday. So we're going to look at that. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 7. It says, wisdom is too high for a fool. He openeth not his mouth in the gate. So we talked about this last week. Number one, wisdom comes from the Lord. Okay, we kind of got up there, but the fool cannot use wisdom, right? It's too high for him. It's just too high. The very requirement of wisdom makes it unreachable for the fool. And so under that, the fool has chosen to reject the things of God. Listen, because to say it's too high, that it's out of his reach, doesn't mean he can't get to it. It means that he's chosen not to by rejecting the way of God and the way of the Lord. So he's rejected it. And so these are the things. And then the third thing was, the fool cannot speak. Okay? It's not that he doesn't try to speak, but here, under that was, he may have a babbling tongue in private, but in the presence of the wise, he is utterly unfit to give judgment. And so this is kind of becomes the deal, is the fool, not that they don't try to speak, but they try to say things to try to get us on the side and go over this and that. But the fact of the matter is they have no wisdom. It's out of their reach, because wisdom comes from where? Yeah, point number one, from the Lord. We can't have it outside of the Lord. And so we can have some smart things, some wise cracks, right? Sometimes people that don't have wisdom, they use their humor and sarcasm and arrogancy to then come across as like, to sound like it's something smart. Well, I know that, you know, and so listen, I'm saying that like I don't ever do it. No, we all find ourselves in that place, right? We can all find ourselves in that. But what we want to look at tonight is, number four is this, what should we do with the fool, okay? What do we do with the fool? So when a fool comes across us, and this is what Solomon is trying to give to his son, trying to give him the lessons of life. How do we survive this world? Well, we die and go to heaven. Well, yeah, that's the end, but we've got to survive this world. We've got to how to navigate this world, how to navigate this life. And so we're going to look at some of those. So how do we deal with the fool when the fool interacts with us? And we've kind of find this fool comes upon us. We're going to look at chapter 26 tonight to kind of give us this idea and this understanding. Look at verse 1, chapter 26, verse 1. Bible says, as snow in summer and as rain in harvest, so honor is not seemly for a fool. As the bird wandering, as the swallow by flying, so the curse causeless shall not come. A whip for the horse, a bridle for the ass, and a rod for the fool's back. Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like unto him. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. Okay, a lot of stuff there. Amen. A lot of stuff there. Let's look at that a little bit tonight. Number A, but actually it's alphabet A. I don't know. Why do we say number one, but alphabet A? That doesn't sound right. Okay, starting with A. Some thoughts from Proverbs 26 on how we should think about the fool that engages in this battle of wisdom. Because this is kind of what we're talking about, is when they come and they try to interact with this wisdom, and they kind of bring it to us. And how do we deal with that? We read back there last week in chapter 24, verse 6, for by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and in a multitude. And so we find this, that there's this interaction. So, what do we do with them? Number one, first, is this. Do not worry about the fool receiving honor. Okay? Don't worry about the fool receiving honor. It's going to pass. So, don't you hate it when somebody says something really stupid about things of God? They just, they're absolutely wrong. Not only things of God, but just in general. They'll say something about life. Well, you know, the best way to raise kids is just to, you know, you just love them and let them do what they want and give them whatever they need. Okay, you're like, well, how about the rod of correction? How about some discipline? But sometimes people will say really idiotic, let's use the Bible word, foolish things. They'll say really foolish things about life, and you're just, and then what'll happen? And, oh, this is one, I'm going to talk about what'll really drive you crazy. Somebody else will sit over there like, yeah, that's true. And you just want to look at both of them. You want to smack one and knock the other one down. You know what I mean? But that's not what we're talking about tonight. So what do we do when people say stuff like that and you're just, okay. So number one is that, first thing is this. Do not worry about them receiving honor. Okay? It's going to come to pass. Okay? Look here. It says there at the end of verse 1. So honor is not seemly for the fool. Okay, we're under A there. Honor is not seemly for the fool. It means that it's not suitable for them. Okay, so honor doesn't belong to them. It doesn't belong with them. B, any more than it is suitable for there to be snow in Florida. Right? Right? Snow doesn't belong in Florida. Right? If there's snow here, oh, there's snow here. If snow comes down here, you're like, something's wrong, you know. And by the way, if snow does anybody ever remember there being snow here? Yeah. I mean, it was about 6 inches, a foot. No, it melted as soon as it hits the ground, right? You know why? Because it's not seemly. It's not suitable. It doesn't fit here. It doesn't belong here. It's not the right thing. It's like rain and harvest. You ever see when we lived up north there, and we'd see cornfields in Iowa and Nebraska, those cornfields. I didn't know how corn worked. I was born in Iowa, never paid attention to it until I left. And then as an adult, I'd drive back. I'm like, watching cornfields is pretty beautiful driving through them. Really see them. Same like wheat. You get over in Kansas, some of that. But the thing is, I'm like, man, it must have been a bad summer. All the corn's burned up. But what I didn't know is they was waiting for it to dry up. That's what you want it to do. You want it to dry up because most corn, you don't eat like corn on the cob. Most corn is used for something else. And so I remember telling one guy, I said, yeah, the corn must have been burned up. And he said, no, it's supposed to do that. What do you mean? It looks like it's no good. He said, no, it's drying out. The problem comes is when it's dried out, when the rain comes, it gets it wet again. Now you got to wait for it to dry out. Otherwise, it's going to get mildewy. Like, okay, you know, so here's what he's saying. It's rain in the harvest is not seemly. It's you don't want it there. It doesn't belong there. It's not the right place. Look at verse 2. Again, as the bird by wandering, as the swallow by flying, so the curse causeless shall not come. Amen. Sometimes you read these and you're like, So we have a couple problems that happen to us. Number one, Proverbs is a book of, we call it poetry. So there's always this poetic kind of nuance in the Proverbs. Okay, that's number one. Number two is it was a Hebrew poetry, and so now you're bringing Hebrew poetry into English, and so it loses some of its nuance there. And then the third thing, this was written about, 1,000 to 700 B.C. It was a lot different culture and time. Things that were outside were like, what's a bird? Birds fly, we're indoors. Different things at different times of history. What people in the times that the Word of God was written would have known right away because it was part of their life were like, what is a coney, right? You know what I'm saying? And so we kind of get caught up on some things. So I want to help you a little bit. Okay, again, number two. Again, do not worry about what the fool is trying to accomplish with their foolishness. Okay? Now, when I say do not worry, what do I mean? You mean, okay, I'm just not going to worry. I'm worried, but don't worry. What I'm saying is in this sense, don't make that, when somebody comes, don't get so involved in what they did that we want to stop and we want to get to that we kind of miss what we ought to be doing. The fool is trying to accomplish something with their foolishness. But what Solomon is saying here, and the Lord has given us here, under A, it is like a wandering bird that flies aimlessly. You ever watch a bird out there? You'll see them sometimes. They just sometimes they seem like they're flying aimlessly, but what they're doing is they're trying to find some food. Other times, they're literally just flying aimlessly. I mean, imagine if you could just put your arms out and float in the air. Wouldn't you do it? Pretty regular, right? And so the bird just kind of wanders, that flies aimlessly. Can I say this? It will not accomplish its goal. It's under A. That's what he's trying to say. Listen, it's kind of like that deal. And then B, it goes on to say this, the curse shall not come upon those to whom it is not due. And he says this, I have it written down here. C, the causeless curse will fail to hurt the wise. And so here's what he's saying. As the bird by wandering and the swallow, the bird by wandering and the swallow is another bird by flying. So the curse, causeless. Okay, so here's what happens. The fool wants to ridicule what we're trying to do. Right? They want to ridicule the Lord and they want to ridicule those that are trying to. And if you've ever tried to share the gospel or talk about things of God, or just, not even the gospel, but just truth around a group of people in the lunchroom, around the water cooler, right? And you get a group of people, and there's undoubtedly at different times some naysayer that just comes up and wants to shut you down, right? You ever had that happen? They just want to mock and ridicule us. Ah, it doesn't really, that's fuddy-duddy stuff. Or they'll say, that's just for people that want to do this. And they want to boo-hoo. Now, if you'll listen, if you'll find out, if you'll pay attention to what the fool is really saying, usually they're saying nonsense. They're just saying how bad that is. And it's kind of, in the sense, like a bird wandering. They wander around. And sometimes, this is why I like to, and this is my strategy a lot of times, I like to ask them a question. So, okay, you don't, and let me just go back to this children. So, you think and my girl said they were in school with the girl that after she graduated, had a couple kids, and she decided she would do gentle parenting and then documented the whole thing on Facebook or Twitter, not Twitter, one of these, Instagram, whatever, one of these things. They're all the same to me. And so she just documented this constantly, these videos, and the kids just like trashing her house and doing this. And they were just, we just don't tell them no. We just kind of redirect them. And the whole thing, you're just watching, you're like, you people are insane. And they would go up and like smack mom in the face and like, wow, you know, I had to go overcome. And the whole time she's just kind of like, yeah, I just had to overcome it. But, you know, these sweet kids. And by the time they, I don't know, I think they were like 4 and 5. They could not speak a sentence. I mean, literally, they did not have vocabulary. They just let them. And so I'm saying all that to say this. At some point now today, they quit doing that. Duh, right? But I think she was trying to, and I asked, it was the older girls, I think. Do y'all remember who I'm talking about? And that was the older girls. They were friends, went to school with them, and they'd say, you know, she was taught. I said, do they understand that, like, most rest of the world is laughing at them? It's like, no, they this is, a lot of people are doing this. People, and you're watching this, but it was so nonsensical. And the kids were just riotous and they're functioning below and even physically and all this. And, you know, but they would say stuff so dogmatically, like, this is what we're doing and this is what we think is right. I don't know, maybe they listen to Dr. Spock, or the Dr. Spock of today, and listen to something. And you're thinking, wow, you know what we want to do? We want to get on there and post a comment on there and say, you know, this isn't going to work. You want to give some scripture. You know what I'm saying? You want to kind of like straighten them out and say, this is ridiculous. But here's what he's saying. And what they would say, probably somebody like this girl, and I don't think she was a terrible person, if I remember the situation. I don't think she was abandoning God. I think she just wasn't following the Word of God on this. And she would say, well, you know, a lot of people do this, and almost making a mockery of those that are following the way of God, right? And so what ended up happening over time is this. It's like they wanted to put a curse or speak negative on things of God. But here's what it says in verse 2. What he's saying is, so the curse causeless shall not come. The when there's no cause for it, it's not going to come. They may try to do that, but it's not going to come. It just won't come out. They won't be able to get it. It won't get its goal. So number 3 there, those that seek wisdom will eventually come to the wise. So I had when I was still in the Air Force, I remember this so vividly. There was this this fella and his wife. They were both in the Air Force, but he worked in the area where I was. He was a mechanic. A jet mechanic, and I was the supply guy in there. And every now and then, if I was talking about the Lord, and I was newly saved, so I was talking about the Lord all the time. I had tracks in my office, and I was, you know, I was just, man, I was there, and you know, and I was about to get out of the Air Force to go to Bible colleges, man. I was just fired up and preaching and teaching Sunday school, and I was doing all the things. And he would come in, and anytime, if he got an earshot of me talking about the Lord to somebody, he would come in and just lamb blast it, and he would just... But him and his wife, they would go out partying, run around doing whatever, but then they would go to the church and give penance on Sunday and start it over every week. And anyway, I didn't know enough to refute a lot of things. I just was talking about things of God, you know, the little bit I knew, right? And anytime I come, he would just, oh, you know, that's, you know, we don't do that. You know, they would just, he would mock it, ridicule it. And I didn't know how to, you know, if I probably knew some things, I'd probably argue with him, but I didn't know anything. So I just, you know, so I was following this unintentionally. So one day he comes in, and in my office, we worked for maintenance, but we had an office out there in the hangar, and we had a couch in there so people could wait. They were waiting, they could sit there. And one day he just comes in, sits down on his couch. I said, you know, you need some parts? He said, no. I mean, okay. what's going on? He said, my daughter's ran away. Teenage daughter. He said she ran away and she's getting into all kinds of stuff. He said, I'm just not really sure what to do. And it begins. I'm at this time. I have 2 babies. This teenager still scared me. You know what I'm saying? And I just remember thinking, wow, I didn't know anything, hardly anything, never been around a teenager that didn't scare me at that time. You know, kind of they still do a little bit. But I just remember thinking at that time, I thought, wow, he came around here when he had a need He didn't go to those other fools out there that they ran around. You know, when he needed it, he came to wisdom. He came to, not that, I'm not saying that I had wisdom, but that I was seeking the Lord. And he come and asked me some things, and I gave him, I don't even remember what I gave him. I'm sure it was something really profound, you know. Probably not, but I'm just saying, listen, those that seek wisdom will eventually come to the wise. There's so many, number four, there are many proverbs that speak of the consequences that will befall the foolish. This is all over and over throughout the scriptures and throughout the Proverbs. Verse 3, it says this, a whip for the horse. Now, what horse gets a whip? What kind of horse? A really good one? Stubborn horse, yeah. One that's not doing what it's supposed to. We think of Balaam and his donkey, right? He put a bridle and they start whipping that thing and they turn around and say, why are you whipping me? Right? You know, why are you hitting me with the stick? You know, why? What's going on? And so we find these kind of things. And he said, so again, a whip for the horse, a bridle for the ass, and a rod for the fool's back. Listen, here's the thing. Do not make it your mission, your purpose, or desire. It's the blank there under that A. Or desire to make sure that the fool, that their foolishness gets revealed. Listen, people are going to come and they're going to do this stuff towards us. And it sometimes, and I was one of these people, I felt like I need to be the one to stand here and make the argument and to, let's get in the battle, right? Let's get in the battle. But I'm telling you, it's going to come to them. That's what's seemly. Listen, the Proverbs over and over and over talks about how the fool is going to get their just reward. They're going to get their due. We're going to get to sometimes what we do this, but I'm telling you, don't make it your mission, like I did, to say, I've got to say something. I've got to straighten them up. Here's what Solomon is saying to his son, what God preserved for us is like, it's going to come to them. Okay? It's going to come around, and if we will live for Jesus Christ, if we will live for the Lord, then they'll come back to us, not because we're wise. Man, you know so much stuff. No, you know what they, you know what, why they come, why the fool comes back to us? Because we know the wise one. And they'll say it and they'll ask, so what did you do? And how do you find that? And we may not have all the answers, but we got more answers than the fool. Right? We kind of find ourselves there. Number five is this. We're going to get into these couple things here. Do not get trapped. Do not get trapped in their foolishness. And this is what I'm talking about. Look at verse 4. Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou be like unto him. Okay, here's the deal. A, under that. How easy it is to let the fool drag us into battle, right? Into a battle of wits that are completely void of any wit. They're completely void of any wisdom. But they'll grab us. I still catch myself being drawn into it. I'll talking to somebody about the Lord and finally, well, you know, I just don't think, you know, and they're starting to argue about the Bible. And I'll find myself, you know, at first, it's a little thing. You know, where did Cain get his wife? You know, or, what, you know, what about, how long do you think that really was? And you start with an answer. You'll start with an answer is one thing. And, well, you know, the Bible says thus and then. Next thing you know, they got you. I mean, I'm telling you, it's satanic. It feels so good that it has to be satanic. They'll get you. You're going a little bit, right? You're going a little bit. Next thing you know, they pulled you right into the weeds. And then they'll say, you know, that's why I think we should drink wine, because Jesus made wine. You're like, I just drink wine. Jesus made wine. So you're like, no, he didn't. You know, wine is a mocker and strong drink is raging, you know, and he that's deceived thereby is not wise. And you start going, and next thing you know, I'm like, oh, they got me. You know what I did? I've answered them. I've answered the fool according to his folly. I've gotten into the same. You know where's a really good place to get into some of that? Bible college. Right? Y'all know what I'm talking about. Bible college. At Bible college, every Bible college student that's there knows everything. Yeah, they know everything. And we're also, I was an adult by the time I went to Bible college, and I would sit there and I would listen to the kids. I had a couple of kids, and I'd listen to them, and I thought, And I was still pretty, I didn't know a lot. Those kids knew more than I did anyway. And I'd sit there and listen to them. And I'm thinking, man, y'all seem to be arguing about a whole lot about nothing. Right? We get ourselves trapped in that. And so, are you saying Bible college people are foolish? No, I'm just saying these are more than just fools that are rejecting God. It's also sometimes we get trapped into this thing. And so, we get drawn into it. Meekness and patience will help us to refrain our own tongue. Okay? I'm telling you, it's this thing that we look at and we're talking about to hold our tongue, to not get so drawn into this thing. Really, meekness is this thing we're talking about of control. Patience. You know what I want to do? I want to jump out there. Did y'all lose your place there? We're under five. Do not get trapped in their foolishness. Wits. And then B, meekness and patience will help us refrain our own tongue, keep our tongue from, if we have some patience, say, you know what, there's this thing going on. Has you ever found that your tongue engages before your brain can? Right? It just goes, right? It just goes, and after it started going, and you're almost like, who gave you permission to go, buddy? And it's already gone, right? It's gone. And so the one thing is meekness, to develop some meekness to say this is I'm going to slow down and let God be in control instead of me. The second thing is, which I think maybe is probably the first thing, is patience. Say this, patience, don't brave your baby. We talk about these things, but patience is something that says, I don't have to jump on this thing right now. Let me let it go for a minute. I can appreciate people that sit there and listen and don't speak, and not because they don't want to talk, but because they're assessing when is the right time to say something. And sometimes, you know, here's the thing. For somebody like me, this is almost never happens. To decide, you know what, it's better if I don't say anything. You ever try to wait to cut into a conversation, and by the time you were able to get into that conversation, the whole thing was gone and you missed that opportunity? You ever done that? You ever think maybe God didn't want you to get in there? Right? You ever done this? You're like, I got to get in there, and you jump in, and then it comes out, and you're like, man, that didn't come out like it was going on up here. So a little patience sometimes with that. C, do not let your own pride and desire to win the day get you trapped in the folly of the fool. What can happen is we want to win. I don't want this fool to win this argument. They're saying something dumb, and I know the truth. And you know, and so here's what Solomon's trying to do. What the Lord has given us, don't get trapped into that. Don't get drawn into their folly. Man, I'm telling you, this is so common, isn't it? This is us daily. This is our daily life that we're dealing with. What Solomon's dealing with these things D under that. If we engage with their folly, we will be just like them. Even though we're the ones with wisdom, we get drawn into their foolishness, into their folly, into the spirit of it, and we get drawn into it. And even though we have wisdom, we become like the fool. Okay, now six. Finally, give the fool truth, lest they think they are wise. Look again, verse 5. So we just said in verse 4, answer not a fool, but in verse 5, answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. Okay. How do you like this one? This is one of my favorite two verses. Don't do it, except do it. Right? Don't you love that when the scripture does? You're like, so is it yay or nay? Is it thou shalt or thou shalt not? I'm kind of confused here, right? So the scripture could sometimes lead us into these, because again, it's poetic, and so it's trying to give us this thing it's going to give us here. So, A, the difference here in verse 5 from verse 4 is that we are to answer foolishness with wisdom, not battle foolishness with more of the same. Okay, so what we can do is we can get drawn into their line of folly, and we begin combating with the same thing they're doing. He says, so here, we don't want to do that. He said, but B, it is to give them the truth. Accepting that they may very well not receive it. You ever thought about saying something to somebody and you thought they ain't going to listen anyway? Why even say it? Right? This verse says don't do that. That's what it's talking about. They ain't going to listen anyway. Well, the Lord said, answer a fool according to his folly. Let's say, lest he be wise in his own conceit. Is that how it goes? Lest he be wise in his own conceit. So, look here. Likely, what you're going to say will make no difference in their life nor change them. So what that means is we're not saying it with the purpose of changing them. I thought that's what truth was for, the truth to make you free. Okay, yeah, but what we're talking about here is when we're dealing with the fool. They've already rejected. They're arguing against righteousness. They're arguing with foolishness. And he says, listen, he said, answer them lest they come to this place and you say, well, I'm going to tell them, they're not going to listen anyway. That's not the point. The point is this here. See, let's continue on. They will at least understand that we do not agree with their foolish unrighteousness. Sometimes all we're trying to do is let them know is, I don't agree with you. Now, I don't agree with you isn't enough. Somebody says, well, I think it's okay to do this. Well, I don't. I disagree with you. Well, that's not what this is. Okay, we've got to give them some truth, some wisdom that's more than just, no, it isn't. Yes, it is. No, it isn't. You know, right? We get into that because that's the folly. That's answer according to their folly. We become just like them. So what we need to see with this thing is we're telling them lest they think we agree with them. And what happens there, it says there in verse 5, lest he be wise in his own conceit. So here's it. We're not trying to necessarily win the day. We're not trying to win the argument. That's different, isn't it? You know, if you're in a debate is always about winning, right? Matter of fact, my girls, when they were in Bible college, some of the girls, maybe some of these others too, were in Bible college in debate class. They had to debate, they had to take a side on should marijuana be legalized for medical use. And so I know Katie and Kayla, I think they had to argue that yes, it should be legalized for medical use. And so other kids were, so there was, and they won the debate because they had more convincing arguments out of, you know, whether it's right or that's not the point. But when you're in a debate, even if you don't agree with it, you want to win. Right? And so if I'm debating somebody about things of God, about truth, I'm not really interested in them getting it. I'm just trying to win. Trying to get them to change them. I'm trying to get them to change their opinion. And usually, if I'm trying to forcefully get somebody to change their opinion, what are they doing? They're combating me. Do you think that's a good environment for somebody to receive truth? No, absolutely not. So what we're doing is we're saying, this is why, here's the truth and why we give something that lest they be wise in their own conceit. When we state, they will at least will not think that we believe that they are right in their own conceit. Somebody that's wise can be a fool, but can be wise in their own mind. Yeah, I think I'm right on this thing. Okay, I'm just going to say why. You understand what the Bible says? So it says one side. Don't get involved with their argument. Don't follow their same folly. And we get into something that ends up being a ridiculous combat. Don't get in that. But do answer them in a way that that says I'm not with you on that thing, lest they be wise and carried on. You know, because sometimes folks, we just want to be known as though somebody that just stands with truth. I'm going to stand with this, and maybe lose the argument with somebody. I'm not going to, you know. And sometimes we do say, and I don't, this is kind of stirs people. I'm not going to argue with you about it. That's kind of, I think that's the answer in a fool according to his folly, right? We become like them. I'm not going to argue with it. Well, now we sound kind of ridiculous, right? But if we say, well, here's what the Bible says, and they'll keep coming, they'll keep coming, they'll never stop. But we say what we've said, and we can leave it, and they can at least know that I'm standing with the Lord on this thing. So it's a challenge, and but here's the what I want to say, folks, is this. The Word of God will always prevail if we use it. Wisdom comes from the Lord, and don't make it our job. And I'm telling you, I wished I would have known this very early on. I felt like it was my responsibility to tell everybody when they're wrong every time. And if I didn't, I was wrong. And God had to show me that's not right. The Spirit of God has a work He's going to do. Let's not get entangled in their folly. But it's the truth that'll make us free. It'll make them free, maybe not this argument, right? We'll get on more of these in the future. Father, we're thankful for Your Word. And Lord, I do pray that You'd help us, Lord, on these issues of life. And Lord, we constantly deal with this. And Lord, our natural man certainly wants to take over and draw us into foolishness. And Lord, I pray that You'd help us to be meek, be patient. And Lord, that we would wait for You to do that in our life, that we don't become like them in some form of what they are. Lord, I pray that You'd help us to be those that the world, the foolish, all around the world would, when they come to that place of indecision and wonder, that they would find us still standing on Your Word. Lord, have Your will and way now, and we'll thank You for it in Jesus' name.